I got my standing ovation. Roger Fisher from the Harvard Negotiation Project came up to me, and he had just got out. He had just come out with his book, Getting to Yes, which was a really bestseller, and it's still in, I don't know, it's 50th publication or something, it's printing. And he came up and he said, don't pay any attention to what Ted did. He's just very emotional when it comes to Afghanistan because he was there for so long. He said, but if I can help you in any way, let me know. And I said, well, you can help me. I said, how would you like to go back with me and we'll talk to the Soviets and see if we can get them out of there? So he said, sounds like a great idea to me. So he said, do you think they'll let me? And I said, we can ask. So we asked. And in 1983, the Afghans said yes. Well, we got to Afghanistan. Roger was an international negotiator. He knew the Russians. He knew everybody involved in the issue. He got to Kabul. He grabs a taxi cab and goes over to the Russian embassy, to the Soviet embassy, goes inside. Their chief guy for South Central Asia comes down, and he basically tells Roger, he says, Roger, we don't want to be here. He said, we make mistakes, but we're not stupid. He said, go back to the United States. Tell them, tell the media, tell Washington, give us 6 months to save face, and we'll leave the Afghans to fix this problem on their own. We don't know what to do. So Roger comes back with that.
We take that to Nightline, and basically Ted Koppel and Nightline presented the story in such a manner that there was no way that anyone watching that program would have believed there was any reason to consider even trying to figure out if it was possible to negotiate the Soviets out. And, you know, we realized at that point that there was something going on that was way beyond the obvious.
Now, let me give you a modern correlation to that. When we tried to leave Afghanistan in 1983, we went through this whole issue of censorship from the Afghan government. And I finally did get an agreement from the Afghans not to censor our tapes. When we went to Afghanistan in 2002, after the American involvement, we get to the airport. And as we're getting on the plane, the guy, he said, why are you going to Afghanistan? I said, we're going to do news stories. He says, who do you work for? I said, we work for ourselves. He says, you have to work for somebody else. You have to be an authorized journalist. You have to be approved by the United States government and the Department of Homeland Security, blah, 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 blah. Now, this is the kind of thing that we could do back in 1981, 1983, throughout the 1980s, even throughout the Reagan era. We were not even questioned when we went back when we came back into the United States about the political content of the tapes that we had in our boxes, okay? It wasn't even an issue. The fact is that the customs official was more concerned as to whether we were sneaking in an Ikigami camera that we had bought overseas, and he wanted to see the registration number and make sure that we weren't sneaking in equipment that we weren't paying taxes on. He could have cared less about what was on the tapes. When we came back from our trip in 2002, we get to customs, and customs says, where you been? We said, we've been to Afghanistan. He's shooting pictures. He says, let me see them. That was the first question. And the fact is that, as it turned out, you know, we didn't have anything he was interested in anyway. I pulled the camera out and I said, you know, there's nothing here that would interest you. But here's a good idea of, if there had been, what would he have done? If there had been images of American soldiers doing what Russian soldiers had been doing, we would have got the same censorship that we got from the Russians back in 1982 and 1983, for which, by the way, we were heavily, heavily criticized for CBS News. But we were told that we only got a sanitized view of what was going on there in 1981. We weren't embedded with Soviet troops. We were simply authorized to walk around with guards, essentially, who were there to protect us from rebel attacks. But now that we do this sort of thing, it's good for us. So this is all part of the mantra that your audience, especially your younger audience, has got to realize. There was, at least what we had back in the 70s and 80s and even in the early 90s, was a freedom that you guys out there today just don't have. It's been chipped away at bit by bit by bit by bit, and our government and our leadership has been doing that, and it's been happening so slowly and so gradually You don't see it happening.
Paul, we are almost out of time here. Journalists are very much like flocks of birds. When one lands, they all land. When one flies away, they all fly away. Happily, you have broken out of the flock and have been presenting us with some extremely valuable truth. We've only gotten up through the Soviet involvement in Afghanistan, and your book goes all the way on up to the present and even has a lengthy series of recommendations to President Obama. I'd like to revisit many of the points that we have yet to I'd like to visit many of the points that we've yet to touch on in future interviews, but we are all out of time. Please tell us about your website.
Well, we have a website where you can get information certainly about the book and about also we have a blog on it. We post things that we find interesting and anomalous, and we just keep it up as much as we can. So it's invisiblehistory.com.
And we have been visiting with, and again, this is a book I can't recommend strongly enough. We have been visiting with Paul Fitzgerald and Elizabeth Gould, the authors of Invisible History, Afghanistan's Untold Story, just published in soft cover by City Lights Books. And there's a world of history in between these covers, and listeners are strongly encouraged to get a hold of the book, read it, buy it, tell others about it. This concludes Side 2 of For the Record program number 678, interview with Paul Fitzgerald and Elizabeth Gould. This program is being recorded on July 5th of 2009. For Paul and Elizabeth, this is Dave Emery saying thanks for listening.
Nice work, Dave. Thank you for help saving the planet. This is Courtney T. Edison, the old codger, filling in tonight for back on the Antique Photograph Hour. I'll be here for an hour, playing 17 RPM records like they're going out of style. And this is WFMU, East Orange, WMFU, Mount Hope Radio.
Got you on my mind. Don't care to step out. I'm easy to find when you're not about. Just staying at home, happy to be by myself. I've got to knock wood. I've always been true. So nice to be good for someone like you. I'm staying at home, happy to be on the shelf. A cozy chair for solitaire, perhaps a book or two. When things are slow, the radio, How can I be blue? There's plenty to do, so much to think of. There's heaven in view, for it's really love. I'm staying at home, happy to be by myself.
Well, we opened the show with Fats Waller and Staying at Home. I just want to say at the outset of my program that I'm in a very cranky mood. Crankier than usual, that's right. Because there's so many reasons why. For one thing, I'm pushing my shopping cart for the 78th down here along Route 280 to get down to Jersey City from my bunker in East Orange. And it's a very hot, muggy day and the traffic is awful. And then I come to Jersey City, and I'm pushing my shopping cart down the street, Montgomery Street, and some juvenile delinquent on a skateboard almost runs me over. Makes me want to use the F word. Yes, maybe I'll use it anyway. Yes, I think I will say it on the radio, even if I'm not supposed to. They warned me not to use the F word. They said, Codger, don't you dare utter the F word. Well, I'm going to. Oh, fiddlesticks, I say, fiddlesticks, yes. Anyway, I'm also cranky, speaking of Fats Waller, because Robbie Delbarton, my friend, my so-called friend, sat on my only copy of a rare Fats Waller acetate. In March 1934, Fats Waller went on the Ratkins diet. It was named after Izzy Ratkins, and Fats lost 235 pounds in 1 month. And during this time, he recorded a song called I'm Half the Man I Used to Be. And he was considering changing his professional name to Slim Waller. But his manager then was a fellow by the name of Phil Ponce. Phil Ponce was the father of the Ponce sisters. Anyway, Phil was against the name change. He was afraid that the fans of Fats Waller would not know he was the same singer. They confuse Slim Waller. Who's Slim Waller? They think he's somebody new. Also, Fats sounded very different. With all that he lost the 235 pounds, he sounded very different. His voice was less full. He sounded like Annette Henshaw. And this also concerned his manager, Phil, a lot. He was afraid that Waller's fans would think that he was Annette Henshaw. Anyway, in April, a month later, Waller spent 7 nights at Delmonico's Steakhouse. And of the 235 pounds he lost, he found 211 of them. Well, anyway, his manager, Phil Ponce, refused to release the recording of Half the Man, and only two acetate copies were known to exist. And I had one of them. And that was the copy that Rummy sat on. I point out it's quite coincidental that Rummy weighs 235 pounds, the same number of pounds that Fats Waller lost on the Ratkins diet. So maybe there's some sort of, I don't know, cosmic justice at work here, and if so, I don't get it. What I can't figure out is, at the time Rummy sat on the 78, the disc was on my Victrola. Ow. Well, anyway, I'm cranky tonight, and that's why. But, you know, I've only got an hour here, and I'm going to play lots of good music. So, let's get right to it. Here's a great 78 RPM record by Louis Jordan and his Timpani Five.
I met old Zeke standing on the corner the other day. That cat sure was booted with liquid.
He was what?
He was obnoxicated.
He was what?
he was inebriated.
He was what?
Well, he was just plain drunk.
Well, all right then.
He sure was salty with the bartender. The bartender's trying to make him buy another drink. Zeke told the bartender, ain't no need of me buying no drinks when everybody else is buying them. I'm gonna drink to everybody's health till I ruin my own.
Open the door, Richard!
Why, he don't know who he's throwing out of that joint. Why, I'll go back in that joint and take a short stick and bust it down to the ground.
Open the door, Richard!
But I hate to be caught out on the street like this, cause it makes you look so common. And I know I ain't common, cause I got class I ain't never used yet. But I guess I better get on in the house, cause I don't want my pastor to catch me out like this.
Hey, Richard, open the door!
Now look at that old woman across the street, done stuck her head out of the window, calling her sister. Look at her hunching her sister, saying, ain't that him? Ain't that him? Yes, it's me, and I'm drunk again!
Open the door, Richard!
I know he's in there, cause I got on the clothes. They can't throw him out, cause I owe just as much back rent here as he does. Imagine that old woman charging us $3 a month and getting mad cause we 12 months in the arrears. Come meet me last Thursday saying, ain't you boys gonna give me some back rent? I told her she'd be lucky if she got some front rent.
Open the door, Richard!
Hey, Richard, open the door! Cause I'm standing here scratching in my pants pocket and standing here groping in my coat pocket and standing here feeling in my shirt pocket and I can't find the key. Hey, open the door, Richard! Open the door, Richard. Open the door and let me in. Open the door, Richard. Richard, why don't you open that door?
Open the door, Richard!
Everything I tell you, tell these little things. Nothing seems to be
asking me foolish questions. Ask me, where did I stay last night?
I'm gonna tell you, Jeff, like a pal, that I ain't no monkey gal. I mean, I ain't no monkey gal. I'm tired of giving you my money. I'm tired of washing your the only things I get is death. Two black eyes called to beat me. You kick me, you knock me down too.
The reason I done it, I'm just a fool about you.
You didn't want me, you didn't have to bring no man. You go back to your woman, already got my back so mad. Can't you understand? You got your pistol, mama, to realize. But what I do from now on, don't you be surprised. Cause you can have your deal, but I'll be here when you fever rise.
Didn't I tell you you were an angel? And I was bound to treat you right.
Yeah, but who in the devil ever heard tell an angel getting beat up every night?
I told you I was going to do all your cooking, and I was going to cut up all your wood.
Now, Wilson, when you told me that lie, you know you didn't mean me no good.
Didn't I promise to dress you like an angel?
I'm too raggedy to go outdoors. You done just what you said. You know them darn angels didn't wear no clothes. Honey, I did more for you than your ma ever done. And you run around here telling folks that you her only son.
Lord, you're talking about quitting me. My love just fell in a doggone bean cooking. Mama, what you smell? You can have your chill, but I'll be your doctor when your fever rides. I say, you can have your chill, but I'll be when your fever rides.
I roam. I have no mother dear, no pleasant home. No one cares for me, no one would cry, even if poor little Bessie should die. Weary and tired, I've wandered all day, asking for work, but I'm too small, they say. On the damp ground I must now lay my head. Father's a drunkard and mother is dead. We were so happy till father drank rum. Then all our sorrows and troubles begun. Mother grew pale and wept every day. Baby and I were too hungry to play. One summer's night, found their dead faces all silent and white. Then with big tears slowly dropping, I said, father's a drunkard and mother is dead. Oh, if the temperance men only could find, poor wretched father, and speak very kind. If they would stop him from drinking, why then I should be very happy again. Is it too late, temperance men, to try? Poor little Bessie must soon starve and die. All the day long I've been begging for bread. Father's a drunkard and the mother is dead.
Baby cheeks and turned up nose and curly hair. I'm raving about my baby now. Pretty little dimples here and dimples there. Don't want to live without her. I love her, goodness knows. I wrote a song about her, and here's the way it goes. Baby face, you've got the cutest little baby face. There's not another one could take your place. Baby face, my poor heart is jumping. You sure have started something. Baby face, I'm up in heaven when I'm in your fond embrace. I didn't need a shell, so I just fell in love with your pretty baby face. You were just a baby, that's not so long ago. You must have been the cutest thing. And I can picture you at every baby show, just winning every ribbon. Your sweet baby way, say honest, I ain't fibbing. You win them all today with that little baby face. got the cutest little baby face. There's not another one could take your place. Baby face, my poor heart is jumping. You have started something with that baby face. I'm up in heaven when I'm in your fond embrace. I didn't need a show, but I just naturally fell in love with your pretty baby face. Now, baby face, I used to always call you baby face. And I dolled you up in prettiest baby lace, you remember? Baby face. Why, I never even tarried. But after we were married, oh, baby face, it's asking alimony, and it's a funny case. Since she got the ring, I call her everything. Well, that is everything but baby face. Baby face, you sure look pretty with that baby face. You'd win the beauty prize in any race. Baby face, you must be athletic, or is it just cosmetic, baby face? At any baby show, you'd surely take first place. But at the break of dawn, with all the makeup gone, oh boy, what a face.
That's from 570 RPM, a record music for you on the old codger. We call this the Philco Cheap Cigar Boudoir. That's what we'll call it tonight. Anyway, that was Billie Holiday and Yankee Doodle Never Went to Town. And before that, Whispering Jack Smith, and he whispered Babyface. That was from 1920-something or other. You know, you forget things when you're my age. Anyway, Hillbilly Charlie Vaughn did a great temperance song called Father's a Drunkard and Mother is Dead. Wonderful song. Not sung often enough, if you ask me. I haven't heard a good version of that in nigh on 70 years or so. Maybe one of you youngsters out there want to record a rap version or a rock and roll version of Father's a Drunkard and Mother's Dead, because it's a great song. And it's public domain. You can steal it. Before that, Coot Grant and Kid Wesley Wilson, they did Have Your Chill. I'll Be Here When Your Fever Rises. And Louis Jordan and his Timpani Five did Open the Door, Richard. So, today here is August 4th. It is the birthday of the late radio host from the 1930s, Phineas Frelinghuysen. Maybe you've never heard of him. Phineas Frelinghuysen. He's in all the books. You can look it up. Great radio host of the 1930s. He invented, he had his catchphrase that he was known for. He invented this phrase, became very popular. The phrase that he invented was, "How you doing?" Yes, Phineas Frelinghuysen was the first person to ever say, "How you doing?" And it became his radio trademark. It became so popular that Phineas applied for a copyright on the phrase from the U.S. Library of Congress, who handles the copyright. Right, so, after three months, he filled the application out, he waited, the Library of Congress replied to his application. They told Frelinghuysen to go to hell. Anyway, he was a friend of mine. I knew him back in the radio days when I was broadcasting in Baltimore. And Phineas Frelinghuysen broadcasted, it was a very obscure station. I don't know if you've heard of the station. I don't know if it's on the air anymore. But he broadcasted on radio station WGGGGGGGGG. Those were the call letters. Don't make me repeat them. It broadcast, oddly enough, at 63.4 FM. Now, most radios could not receive this frequency. You needed a special receiver. And this special receiver was built by a small firm in Lighthouse, New Jersey. It was called a radiola. It was very expensive. It cost around, $750. That's a lot of money in those days. The radiola was invented by a fellow by the name of Andy Sr. And Andy is still alive. He's a friend of mine. He lives at the Van Halen Nursing Home in Verona, New Jersey. He's 113 years old. He's a little out of touch these days. He doesn't know the Dorsey brothers are dead. And he doesn't know that I killed them. Yeah, but I can say that on the radio now, because I've been told by my lawyer that the statute of limitations has expired. So, I can no longer be held and charged with the murder of the Dorsey brothers. Anyway, Andy Sr., who's great at tinkering around in the laboratory, he also had another great invention that you may have heard of. That's right, Andy Sr. also invented bacon. Yes, so you owe him a debt of gratitude. Unless you're some dirty hippie vegetarian who won't eat meat, you won't touch bacon, in which case I have no use for you. So if you're a dirty vegetarian hippie, please change the station. You're not allowed to listen. I do like vegans. Yes, I wouldn't invite them to dinner, but I don't mind if they're on the menu. Vegans, their flesh grills very tenderly on a cedar plank. It tastes like veal. Well, anyway, we're going to go back to the music right now. I just want to say, I am Courtney T. Edison. I'm filling in for Mac, my friend, here on He Does the Antique Phonograph Hour. I just do the Codger 78 Hour. And the hour is ticking away. So we've got to get back to the music right now. Every recording I play, guaranteed, a 78 RPM record.
But now along Esso Boulevard comes Fu Manchu, Why Don't You Behave? Thank you.
opera guys have something that could thrill me through and through. Mr. Frankenstein was bad enough, that blue-beard man was plenty tough, but all of them are babies next to you. Crawling around while London sleeps and waking me up with creepy creeps. Fu Manchu, why can't you behave? You're making the most uncanny sound, a kicking that Chinese gong around. Fu Manchu, why can't you behave? You're a temperamental Oriental, far from gentleman. You're a mean meandering Mandarin, a loony laundry man. You're giving me nightmares all day long. Go back in your book where you belong. Fu Manchu, why can't you behave?
Wallowing in the sea, by wind and wave we're tossed. Lifeboats here and lifeboats there, hear the shrieks and groans. The captain calls all hands on deck and sings in trembling tones. Oh, how I wish I was in Peoria, Peoria tonight. Oh, how I miss the goyos in Peoria, Peoria tonight. Why, you can pick our morning gloria right off the sidewalks of Peoria. Oh, how I wished I was in Peoria, Peoria tonight. What a song, what a song, hear the wild applause. The big Manhattan Opera House is crowded to the doors. Bravo here and bravo there, bravo with a bang. Signor Cassi sang a song, and this is what he sang. Oh, how I wish I was in Peoria, Peoria tonight. Oh, how I miss the flies in Peoria, Peoria tonight. Why could I sing about Toreadoria when I can sing about Peoria? Oh, how I wish I was in Peoria, Peoria tonight. Oh, how I wish I was in Peoria, Peoria tonight. Oh, how I miss the girls in Peoria, Peoria tonight. I've got a brother in Peoria, works in the 5 and 10 cents in Peoria. Oh, how I wish I was in Peoria, Peoria tonight.
Every time I see a puppy on a summer's day, a puppy dog at play, my heart is filled with envy. That's why I'm in such a hurry to pass the time away. Like the pup I'm all fed up, and so it's wrong to be, I long to be lazy. I wanna be lazy. I'm longing to lay in the sun with no work to be done under that awning they call the sky, stretching and yawning, and let the world go drifting by. I wanna peep through the deep tangled wild wood, counting sheep till I sleep like a child would, with a great big valise full of books to read when it's peaceful, while I'm killing time being lazy. Lazy, I wanna be lazy. I'm longing to lay in the sun with no work to be done under that awning they call the sky, stretching and yawning, and let the world go drifting by. I wanna peep through the deep tangled wild wood, counting sheep till I sleep like a child would, with a great big valise full of books to read when it's peaceful, while I'm killing time being lazy.
Absolutely sure was blind. I found the best that ever was. Here's some other things he does. He shakes my ashes, greases my griddle, churns my butter, strokes my fiddle. My man is such a handyman. He threads my needle, greens my wheat, heats my heater, chops my meat. My man is such a handyman. Don't care if you believe or not, he's good to have around. When my furnace gets too hot, he turned my damper down. For everything, he's got a scheme. I like the way he whips my cream. My man is such a handyman. He flaps my flapjack, cleans off my table, feeds the horses in my stable. My man is such a handyman. Sometimes he's up before they're done, busy working on my lawn. My man is such a handyman. Never has a thing to say when he's working hard. miles away. I get a fresh piece every day. My man is such a handyman.
That was Victorious Baby from 1928 and My Handyman, 70 RPM record. Before that was Al Jolson singing the song. I have played it before, by the Pond Sisters. Their father, of course, was Phil, who managed Fats Waller. He was Fats Waller's first manager and convinced him to put back all the weight and go back to being fat, which made him a better singer and differentiated him, of course, from Annette Hanshaw, as I pointed out before, if you were listening. Well, before, Jolson did Lazy, and before that was Frank Crummett, and I Wished I Was in Peoria. We heard from Guy Lombardo and his Royal Canadians, yes, with Fu Manchu, Why Won't You Behave, and Billie Holiday with an orchestra sang Yankee Doodle Never Went to Town. Well, we're going to town tonight on the 70 RPM Records here with the old codger on WFMU radio station here in Jersey City. So, the other day, a few weeks ago anyway, somebody in the WFMU office upstairs, I think it was Liz Berg, was showing me something. She called it an iPhone. It's this little machine. I don't know if too many of my listeners have ever heard of this thing, a little machine. It's just about the size of a pack of cigarettes. And Liz, she called it a palm device. It fits in the palm. And I know she was trying to impress me, no doubt. All the chickies here, they all think they can seduce me. Expect me to ask them for their little hands in marriage. And then they think I'll die and they will inherit my 70 RPM record collection. No. It doesn't work that way. I may be 154 years old, but I promise you, I will attend the funeral of every current WFMU staff member, one at a time. You know, the gene pool has weakened considerably over the decades, particularly at this radio station, where Darwinism seems to work in reverse. There used to be some smart people here. Now they mostly drag their knuckles in the muck. That's what, as they trod off into the primeval ooze. Well, anyway, back to this iPhone, this palm device. I was not impressed when Liz showed me this iPhone, because, you know, in the 1920s, the Victor Company introduced tiny, palm-sized Victrolas. Yes, they were all the rage back in the 1920s. You can look it up. Everyone was buying one. Babe Ruth bought one, and they took a picture of him in the newspaper with the palm-sized Victrola. They played a 1-inch diameter, 78 RPM disc. So these modern, newfangled so-called palm devices, they're nothing new. We had them 90 years ago. Of course, once the novelty wore off, it was evident that the trouble with the palm-sized Victrola discs was that they only held 20 seconds worth of music. So if you wanted to listen to, let's say, a complete version of Bessie Smith, Beale Street Mama, you had to buy and play 11 tiny discs. Well, this made it very difficult to dance, of course, to the Fletcher Henderson recordings. So the palm Victrola, which was a fine little novelty, it wasn't very popular at parties. But it was a great conversation piece, yes, and a marvelous invention. Anyway, so Liz shows me her iPhone, and she said it contains music. Well, I'll bet with today's technology, it can probably, you know, everything is so small, I bet that little iPhone can probably carry over 1 hour's worth of songs. But I'm not impressed. There's nothing new these kids can show me. They probably think they invented waffles. Well, anyway, I'm running out of time. I'm talking too much tonight. I'm terribly sorry. I know you tune in to hear the music. and I came down here from my bunker with my shopping cart full of 78 RPM records to play for you the great music. So, here we go. This is, this is Vaughn DeLeese. Yes.
Come on, children, and gather round. I got a lot to tell. Because the clouds are grumbling. Don't think the world is tumbling. No need worry and lose that frown. You'll soon be feeling well. A little home philosophy will help to shake that spell. Change all of your gray skies. Turn them into gay skies. And keep sweeping the cobwebs off the moon. What good is your pining? Change that silver lining. And keep sweeping the cobwebs off the moon. You'll make the clouds hurry away, humming a lovely love song. Some lucky day, somebody may come along. Chase all of your sorrow, take care of tomorrow, and keep sweeping the cobwebs off the moon. Some lucky day, somebody may come along. Someone's sunshine and someone's rain. We look with different eyes. We all make money funny ways. Umbrella men hate sunny days. Some keep sighing without a pain. They never realize what's bound to be is bound to be. And here's what I advise. Change all of your gray skies. Turn them into gay skies. And keep sweeping the cobwebs off the moon. Just keep sweeping the cobwebs off the moon. The clouds hurry away, humming a lovely love song. Some lucky day, somebody may come along. Just keep sweeping the cobwebs. Keep sweeping the cobwebs. Keep sweeping the cobwebs off the moon. Keep sweeping.
What's the greatest problem now throughout the land? What's the only problem needs a helping hand? It isn't Philip Snowden or tax relief I find. It's something more important now on everybody's mind. Just walk into any home today. It's 10 to 1 you'll hear each husband say. My wife is on the diet, and since she's on the diet, home isn't home anymore. No gravy and potatoes, just lettuce and tomatoes. Where are the pies I adore? Oh, 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 what a disgrace. I'm ashamed to look a grapefruit straight in the face. My wife is on the diet, and since she's on the diet, I'm losing a pound every day. Monday, grapefruit, breakfast and for dinner, and at night some orange juice. Tuesday, grapefruit, boys, I'm growing thinner, all my clothes are getting loose. Wednesday, Thursday, I feel feel satisfied. Then I change to coffee with grapefruit on the side. Friday till Sunday is more than I can stand. Before the 18th day, I'll have a lily in my hand. My wife is on a diet, and since she's on a diet, home isn't home anymore. No gravy and potatoes, just lettuce and tomatoes. Where are the pies I adore? Crabs and shrimps, I must leave alone. I'm the only lobster she'll allow in my home. My wife is on the diet, and since she's on the diet, she's gaining a pound every day. Wild. One look at her onions and I cry like a child.
To go up above, up above. He cried, it's getting too warm for me down here, and so I'm going up on earth where I can have a little fun. The devil simply shook his head and answered his son, stay down here where you belong. The folks who live above you don't know right from wrong. To please their king, they've all gone out to war, and not a one of them knows what he's fighting for. Way up above, they say that I'm a devil and I'm bad. Kings up there are bigger devils than your dad. They're breaking the hearts of mothers, making butchers out of brothers. You'll find more hell up there than there is down below. Kings up there, they don't care for the mothers who must stay at home. They're hard to bear, stay at home. Don't you roam. Although it's warm down below, you'll find it warmer up there. If ever you went up there, my son, I know you'd be surprised. You'd find a lot of people who are not civilized. Stay down here where you belong. The folks who live above you don't know right from wrong. To please their king, they've all gone out to war, and not a one of them knows what he's fighting for. Way up above, they say that I'm a devil and I'm bad. Kings up there are bigger devils than your dad. They're breaking the hearts of mothers, making butchers out of brothers. You'll find more hell up there than there is down below.
In the gloaming by the fireside, with you I'll be content. In the gloaming by the fireside, every hour will be well spent. We'll see our hopes and dreams, dear, like pictures in the fire, finding in it gleams, dear, our heart's desire. In an armchair by the fireside, just big enough for two, we'll be happy, oh so happy. We'll do as lovers do, with no one there to notice a little kiss or two. In the gloaming by the fireside with you, when the busy day is over, I'm in clover just to be in a spot where worries vanish. Love will banish them from me. In the gloaming by the fireside with you, I'll be content. In the gloaming by the fireside, every hour will be well spent. We'll see our hopes and dreams, dear, like pictures in the fire, finding in its gleams, dear, our hearts desire. In an armchair by the fireside, just big enough for two, we'll be happy, oh so happy. We will do as lovers do, with no one there to notice a little kiss or two.
of dreams is now in sight. Come along there, sailor, now you must away. God bless you, darling, and good night. All your little troubles are forgotten, and you'll soon be dreaming, little man, you've had a busy
Well, it was a great program, wasn't it? It's over, I'm sorry. I have enough music with me to play 6 more hours. That's all I could fit in my shopping cart. Well, I forgot the name of the singer, the Labor. I've played that record so much, the Labor wore off. But I haven't played it in 47 or so years, so I forget who the singer was. I'll let you know next time. Kate Smith, before that, sang In the Gloaming by the Fireside. Before that, we heard Henry Burr with a song from World War I, the big one, the war to end all wars. And it worked, didn't it? We heard him doing Down Below. And before that was Henry Hudson with Leslie Sarney singing My Wife is on a Diet. Vaughn DeLeith did Keep Sweeping the Cobwebs Off the Moon. This is the Old Codger. I need to say hello to my friends out there, Red Butler, Molasses Hathaway, Rami Delbarton. You stink, Rami. I'll get you yet. Andy Sr., Woody Fishcakes Crony, my agent, Lola Bell Pancake, Trixie Von Muttersbaugh, my doddering crony, Oogie Wawa, and my friend, artist, Curtis Woodbridge. He's been a great artist since the 1890s, and he's still at it. So anyway, I'm going home now to get plushed to the scuppers. That's right. And I'll be back filling in someday soon for Mac. Anybody asks me to do a radio show, if you're a WFMU disc jockey, and you're listening right now, you can hear the quality sort of program that you could have filling in for you if you ever need a substitute. Well, stay tuned for Sharpling Best Show on the Radio Station, is what it's called. This is WFMU East Orange and WMFU Mount Hope.
On the air at WFMU, and then I asked you if I was on the air at WFMU.
Hi, Tom. This is Sasha from Oklahoma.
This is caller Erica from Baltimore.
Hey, Tom. This is Ramtin Greenblatt.
This is John Chow.
I hate that guy.
Mort Rimbley. Mitt Romney.
Who's that?
Well, then I would flick the cane, and I would slash you in the face.
I have literally been in 1,000 fights.
Sports ball.
Come on.
Who's this?
Gingivitis.
Yeah. They have ring baloney at the Wawa. Goes.
I'm Julie.
This is Jerry and Boulder.
Hey, Tom. This is Jason Grove.
Cincinnati, Ohio.
Todd Newbridge.
Todd Palin.
My name is Mustafa.
He was taking 63 different pills.
This is radio.
Sounds like you're running your voice through some sort of modulator.
No, I'm not running through a modulator either.
Hey, Tom. It's David from
Hey, Tom. It's Officer Tom.
Bonnie.
Thomas Ken Rogers.
Tom, it's Julie Klausner.
It's Julie Klausner.
My name is Dylan Milford. I'm the president of the Los Angeles chapter of the Spike Fan Club.
Martin from Edison.
This is Paul F. Tompkins from Hollywood, California.
Yeah, you got Clark out here in New Jersey.
Clark?
Yeah.
This is Lori.
Lori from?
Miami.
Ready? I'm coming.
Who is?
You'll find out. I'll
make you eat the Bible.
You are creepy and I'm hanging up on you. Boing.
It's Kurt Gaistburn.
Gaistburn?
Yes.
Tom, it's Ted.
Hey, Leo.
Hi, Tom. It's DJ Terry T.
I said it's Bill down in Millersville, Maryland.
Is Omar?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah, hey, Tom. It's Maniac FOT.
I'm saying Colfin. Not Colfin.
Sociology. It's anthropology. We're all going to get degrees at the end.
Shut your mouth, 'cause it's time for the talk, yeah.
Bye.